Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
On Tuesdays here at All of It, we check in with WNYC's planning editor, Kate Hines, to hear what stories she's sending the newsroom reporters out in the world to cover. We call it Kate Has a Plan, because she always does. Hi, Kate.
Hello, Allison.
Okay, so this is a very serious story. I've been seeing this a lot in the news. Cyclist deaths are up in the city, and twice as many?
Right.
The past year?
For all of last year, 2018, there were 10 cyclist deaths. Right now, there are about 15, and it kind of depends on how you make the count. So that's a pretty big increase.
Yeah.
I would caution to say that when you're dealing with such small numbers, you know, the difference of five people makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
But on a percentage basis, but it's still a really big deal. And calls into question all kinds of things, you know, NYPD enforcement of bad drivers, bike lanes, and whether the city is building them out fast enough, if we have the right infrastructure in place, if everyone is obeying the rules of the road. And I think all the answer to that is no, you know, we're not doing enough. But the one, there was a death last night on Bushwick Avenue in Williamsburg, mm-hmm. and reporter Gwen Hogan went out there this morning just to take a look of the lay of the land. And it's really interesting. There's no protected bike lane. There's not even a painted bike lane on Bushwick Avenue, which is a really big thoroughfare for cyclists. There are a bunch of concrete plants in the area, and there are trucks all over the place, and a truck is what hit the woman last night. Some of the concrete trucks have been dripping over the years, so there's all these like concrete scabs on the road.
Oh, that's awful.
So it's just like, and there's a big problem with cycling infrastructure in the city.
And this was, you know, it was part of de Blasio's Vision Zero,
right?
And we're about 5 years in on that?
Yeah.
Did he announce, have there been any announcements of any changes, any alterations, any adjustments?
He said he's going to change how he's going to ask the NYPD to enforce against bad driving. In the past, when a cyclist has died, and I'm not even joking about this, the NYPD would go out and ticket cyclists. You know, kind of as a way to enforce cyclists to obey the rules of the road. And advocates were like, it's not, that's not the right approach. So now he's asking the NYPD to really go out and hold drivers accountable.
All right. So you are sending someone to the East Village to cover some protests.
Right. There's a whole day of action nationwide today called Close the Camps. It's an effort to call attention to the conditions at migrant detention centers all across the border. There's a whole bunch happening in our area. A lot of them are happening outside members of Congress's office, because the idea is Congress is closed, members are home, they're in town, people want to make sure that they know about this. So there's a protest happening right now in the East Village, and someone is there to check it out.
Also, I just want to point out on this, you know, people who have been feeling like, what can I do? Mm-hmm. What can I do? The bunch of bookstores across the country have gotten together called Books, and the hashtag is Books Against Borders, and Books Are Magic, our friends. Emma Straub, they are donating 10% of their sales from July 5th through 7th to RIASIS. A lot of different, it was started by a bookstore in Madison, Wisconsin. So that's some way, if people are thinking, what can I do to help children? You know, not in a political issue, help children. That's one way you can go about it.
That's
so
great.
Yeah, Books Are Magic, they're doing the right thing. Let's talk about 4th of July security.
Yep, I'm sending, you know, James O'Neill, the NYPD commissioner, will do this before big events. He did it last week before the Pride celebration weekend. It's, you know, it's going to be pretty straightforward. I'm sure he's going to say something like, we have no specific threat, but we're prepared for any eventuality. There's going to be X number of cops out on the street, da 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 da. I'm kind of interested in, you know, what other things he says. We call it the on-topic and off-topic. You know, whenever I send a reporter to a press conference, I ask them to pay attention to what's happening, but then they go with a whole list of other questions. So now I'm like, ask James O'Neill about cycling and enforcement of that. Also, I heard some chatter on Sunday from participants in the Pride events who felt like it was really over-policed. And that it's, you know, it's a difficult conversation
to have.
That's
a tough one, yeah.
It's really tough, and I don't even know how you ask James O'Neill in a Q&A, but like, if there's any response to that, if that comes up at all in the press conference, I'd be interested to hear that conversation.
There was a huge police presence. I live down the area, and I walked Rocco. You've met Rocco.
At 5 a.m. We love Rocco.
At 5 a.m., and I was amazed how many officers were out there. I mean, happy to see them, glad to see people trying to keep people safe, but there is that issue of, was it over police? Was it too much? I've heard that as well. I also from the people who had the alternative march.
yes.
who were saying, like, this yeah. is not what this is about. Think about what Stonewall was about.
Exactly. And that's the conversation. But I feel like James O'Neill kind of laid the groundwork last week when he said, we treat Pride like something on the, it's like the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade. It's going to mm-hmm. be huge numbers of people. We have to take that seriously.
Of course. Medical marijuana in New Jersey.
Yeah, this is like the consolation prize. To
I feel like I ask you about marijuana a lot.
Next time we should just take some edibles and then have the conversation. But we can't do it legally in New York or New Jersey because neither state was able to get recreational marijuana passed. So this is the consolation prize. Medical marijuana in New Jersey has been legal for some time, but there have only been a handful of dispensaries. Like, first there were five or six, and then that number was doubled. But even the demand for that has grown pretty steadily. And so Murphy is more than doubling the number of growers. They weren't able to get recreational pass, but they expanded medical marijuana, I should say that. So today's the day that he signed it. So he's putting all kinds of things in place. He's putting in place a cannabis regulatory commission, which will be the body that regulates recreational if and when that happens. He's expanding the number of dispensaries. He's expanding the number of growers. So it's really designed to get more people who qualify for medical marijuana access to it.
And this is a big one in New York City, the styrofoam ban. We've been hearing about it. It's
right.
for real?
It's for real. Well,
today or
yesterday? Yesterday was the first day it went into effect in terms of an enforcement point of view. Styrofoam has been illegal since January, but the city said, we're not going to enforce it for 6 months. We're going to ease people into it slowly. And it prohibits New York City businesses and, you know, restaurants, packing stores, whatnot, from selling, offering, or possessing single-use foam food containers, like the clamshell mm-hmm. ones, cups, plates, da-da-da. So yesterday was the first day it went to effect, and we asked Sanitation Department, how many violations have you issued? And they said, we've issued 11. So that, you know, I'm trying to find out what we know about those 11 businesses. And I've also sent a reporter out to try to find who are the businesses that are still using them. Like, we tend to think, you know, it's going to be like the halal cart guy mm-hmm. or the restaurant in Greenpoint that's kind of out of the way. So I want to kind of test that hypothesis and see what the alternatives are.
And the fines are, they're stiff.
The first fine is $250.
That's
and then it increases on subsequent violations. So it'll ramp up.
Did they have, and you may not know the answer to this, what about people who had just had bought styrofoam for days that hadn't, I mean, businesses, was there any sort of program for those people?
Oh, you mean like, I don't, like get rid of your old, like a gun
yeah.
trade-in program
yeah.
for styrofoam? I don't know the answer to that. I mean, the whole problem with styrofoam is it can't be recycled,
yes.
so I don't know what you would do with it if you were getting rid of it.
Maybe a reporter could ask that for me?
I will. I will make that happen.
I thank you as always. That's our edition, latest edition of Kate Has a Plan. This is Oliver on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. I will meet you back here next time. Thanks, Kate.
Thanks.